I still cannot believe you did this, Marmy.
Peter Arkin grumbled, shifting on the bench to get in a more comfortable spot. He glanced at his pocket watch. The stage from Grand Platte should be arriving shortly. It wouldn't be long before he'd see dust rising in the air.
You would think that there'd be a train coming to Flat River by now. We aren't living in the Middle Ages.
Progress is slow, Mr. Harkin.
Ingrid Chapman, known as Marmy by everyone in Flat River, sat, her silver curls bouncing beneath her bonnet.
And it's passing right by this little podunk town,
he mumbled under his breath. He shifted on the hard wooden bench once more. The stump that was once his leg hung limply over the side, and his crutches leaned against the wall of the mercantile. He winced, the phantom pain never quite going away. He should be used to it by now. After all, it had been just over a year since the accident that took his leg. He was running out of money and options. He could still recall the moment he lost his footing and his leg caught underneath the sharp blade of the plow. His life changed forever in that instant. It didn't matter how many times he heard how fortunate he was. The plow completely severed the leg beneath the knee with surgical precision. It didn't matter how many times he heard stories of others whose legs were so mangled they gave up hope and died. Peter Arkin survived. He didn't feel fortunate. He recalled pressing his leg against the cold steel of the plow to stop the flow of blood until he passed out in the dirt. He didn't know how long he was in the field until he woke up in the back of a wagon with Doc cauterizing his leg. The scent of burning flesh still filled his nostrils, and he knew it would never leave him. But that fateful day, Peter lost more than his lower leg. He lost his confidence, his sense of purpose, his faith. He refused to leave the house until he heard noise in the yard. Peeking outside the curtains, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. There must have been at least a dozen men in the field. Peter hobbled out to the edge of the porch. The sight was almost too much to bear. It should be him in the field, not his neighbors. Four men with large grain cradles moved slowly, swinging their blades back and forth. When the cradles were full, two men pulled up behind them and tied the straw into large bundles, before dropping the shocks onto the field to dry. West and Chapman had organized the neighbors to help harvest the wheat. With the number of men working, the entire 10 acres was harvested before sundown. Women stopped by to feed the men and check on Peter. They feasted on thick ham sandwiches, fresh apples from the trees that grew by the river, homemade cookies, and mason jars filled with milk or sweet lemonade. Leftovers were wrapped up and left in Peter's kitchen, so he didn't have to worry about meals. He hated accepting charity, but those were the kind of people that lived in Flat River. They looked out for each other. When the task was done, it was Weston Chapman that approached Peter about purchasing his entire wheat harvest. Weston even paid extra to allow his longhorn cattle to pasture on Peter's land and graze on the winter wheat during the colder months. Peter was overwhelmed by the gesture because it meant he didn't have to find someone to take the wheat to market and sell it. The extra funds allowed him to focus on getting through winter. Weston returned in the spring, but Peter wasn't sure that he wanted to grow wheat again. But Weston wasn't to be denied anything. He took one look at the empty bottles scattered around the small house and sent the one person who could get Peter back in shape to face the world. Marmy.